Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lesbian Mommies Radio. I'm your host, Elizabeth Kaliva. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tonight, we are talking to Christy Tyner, author of the new children's book, Zach Safari, a book about and for donor-conceived children of two moms. So awesome. I heard about this actually on, I think it was mombian.com, and I thought, this is so cool. For a kid to have a book that they can completely relate to, just phenomenal. So I'm so happy that Christy agreed to come on the show and tell us about her book. Before we get started, just a plug for my show. Check us out online at lesbymommies.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/lesbymommiesradio. I share a lot of different lesbian-related or natural health-related information there. And then if you haven't already subscribed to the show on iTunes, definitely check that out. If you subscribe, you get the new show every Tuesday morning in your phone or however you listen to your podcasts. And you can find all of our past shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, my website, lesbymommies.com. All right, let me introduce Christy Tyner. Previously a trainer in the healthcare industry, Christy has a master's degree in instructional design. Her first book, Mama Midwife, A Birth Adventure, was self-published in 2013. Christy's goal is to produce picture books that are professionally illustrated, clever, exciting, funny, and adventurous. She wants to increase the number of quality books available to kids with gay parents. She is inspired to create books that include same-sex parents, but as a thoughtful detail rather than the main focus of the story. Christy lives with her wife and two kids, both donor conceived in the San Francisco Bay Area. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm honored to have you, and congratulations on the book. I did read it in preparation for the show, and it's absolutely gorgeous, and I just love what you did and how you wrote everything, and we'll go into that in a minute, but just really congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much.
So start us off by talking about the backstory. Like, what had you write this book?
Yeah, so I knew that I wanted to start talking to my kids about their donor, and my partner and I just hadn't gotten around to it, and by the time we did, I figured, well, there must be tons of books out there about this subject. There's so many two-mom families out there, and it's so much more socially accepted than it was, say, 10 years ago. And so when we got around to the time of really deciding that we wanted to have, you know, to start introducing that concept to them, I decided, you know, I wanted to buy a book, and I went online, and there was really hardly any options out there as a book that would introduce donor conception to young kids. There are a few books out there, and I'm really grateful that there are a couple of books out there. But I couldn't find any books, at least that were available on Amazon, to buy that showed, you know, a two-mom family. And I thought that was really important for my kids and for any kids that have a two-mom family that also have a sperm donor, that they're able to actually see their family represented in a book. And since I had just done my first book, which was a book explaining to kids what a midwife is, because my partner is a midwife, okay, that process of doing that book kind of gave me the confidence to start the project for the next book. I just sort of, it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to just make books that are really fun, and I wanted to try to get them published, and I wanted to make them for any family. But when I noticed that there was a need for this book, I felt compelled to do it, and that kind of got the ball rolling.
That's so great. And it is hard to believe that in 2015, geez, there isn't a lot more out there. It's pretty crazy. And I think there was something recently, I'm trying to remember, I posted it on my Facebook page, but it was a school district that was contemplating banning a book about, I thought it was a book about two moms. And so, I mean, there's obviously some other book out there, and it's controversial, so that's going to be one of the questions I ask you. But it was just amazing, first of all, and I can't remember where it was. It was some place where you'd expect they'd have a conversation about actually banning a book, but about two moms. But first of all, they didn't, which was really good. But it goes to show you there really isn't a lot out there. It proves there's not too much out there if this one book was so controversial. So really awesome that you did that. Now, those are the only two books you've written, the Mom and Midwife and this one?
Yes.
Wow. That's impressive. Well, you're off to a really great start. I want to see this Mom and Midwife one. I love that you're talking to kids about midwives and babies. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a really fun book to do. And I did that. I was my partner. We're lucky that my partner, Michelle, is able to support us. And I am a stay-at-home mom for the kids. And during the first couple of years of being a stay-at-home mom, I just kind of needed a project to kind of, you know, keep from going totally crazy. So I had always wanted to write a kid's book. And so Mom and Midwife was just sort of dabbling in that. And I did my own art, which was, I swore that I would never do my own art again. It was so much work, and I'm not an artist. I do more graphic design stuff, and it was sort of a lesson learned that for whatever future books that I did, that I would hire a professional artist to do the books. So that was kind of the lesson I learned with Mama Midwife, but it was a really fun book to do.
Nice work. So now, I was really impressed when I read Zach Safari at how you presented what could be a little bit, could be considered complicated material. You know, talking about how babies are made and where eggs and sperm come from. And you did a really great job, I felt, in presenting it in a really clear way. Like, so many times when we talk to our kids about sex-related things, there's code words used, and it's like there's some kind of uncomfortableness around talking about those things. But I just loved yours was just really straightforward and clear, but in a way that kids could understand it, which is really awesome. So I was wondering did you do any research like in child development or how to present information like this to kids, or did you just have the experience with your own babies that was kind of natural and how you would present this information?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm not a, you know, child psychologist or anything like that. I'm very lucky in that I have a good friend. Her name is Alice Ruby. And she runs the Sperm Bank of California here in Berkeley, California. And she has been a wonderful resource and also kind of the subject matter expert and my sounding board in some of the details of the book. But what I learned from her are a couple of things. One is that the concept of the donor is maybe more important to kids, especially as they grow up, than we think that it might be when we're talking about it to them as little kids. And so I wanted to instill a sense of gratitude for the donor, because the donor is half of who the kids are. And that can feel threatening at first to talk about the donor or to introduce someone that other people might think is that they call a biological father. But introducing that subject is really difficult. And then the other half of it, the biological portion of it, the biological conception and the sort of the sex part of it, I didn't really talk about sex in the book, but I think that's something that makes it difficult to talk about, because as adults, we've had our whole lives to develop a stigma around sex, and we also have our ideas about what's appropriate to talk to little kids about and what's not appropriate to talk to them about. And using words like egg and sperm and you're talking about insemination, it's hard for us to remove our own feelings around our conception journey or around sex in general, and just offer the kids the basics, the things that they need to know to understand who they are and how their family was made. So really, Zach Safari was an attempt to kind of strip away all of the other stuff and just present the information in more of a fascinating kind of a biological presentation to the kids. So when you tell a kid what a cell is or how things are made, or you're talking to them about science or nature, they're always just fascinated by that. They haven't had any time to build up any negative associations around sex or, you know, they haven't developed opinions about some of the more controversial things that make us tentative to talk about those things. So it's good to just be straightforward and honest and use accurate words. And the hard questions about sex don't come up at the young age. It will come up later. But right now, it's important, I think, to just tell the kids, you know, what a donor is and how we might be grateful for the donor because it gave us our wonderful kids. And just keep it really simple.
Yeah, you did a really great job with that. Now, let me back up. I should have asked this question before, which is, why don't you give everyone the basic storyline of the book so they can understand what we're talking about here?
Okay. Yeah. So Zach Safari is a story about a boy named Zach, and he's about to go on a safari adventure. He's got this swamp jeep, and he's traveling through this swamp, and he's inviting the reader on a safari adventure. And that's sort of a kind of a hook to get the kids engaged at the beginning. And then it starts raining. So he has to say to the reader, you know, the safari adventure was spoiled by the rain, but I'm going to think of this clever backup plan, and I'm going to give you this very special, very rare opportunity to have a tour of my family. And so he begins a tour of his family, and he teaches the reader how his two moms met, and how they fell in love, and how they decided that they wanted to make a baby. And he tells a story of what that journey was like for them. So he talks about known donors, and he talks about donors from sperm banks. He introduces some basic biological information, what a sperm is and what an egg is, and how we get our physical characteristics from the sperm and the egg, and how that makes up who we are. And then the whole second half of the book is really a celebration of the two-mom family. So it shows the family just doing everyday things together. They're going on nature hikes and playing in the snow and having birthday parties and hanging out with their grandparents. And it introduces what a donor is and some of the really, really basic biological information that you need to know in order to understand how sperm and egg contribute to making a human being. And then it kind of leaves you with more of a loving sense of family, because the whole second half of the book is really a celebration of the two-mom family.
Yes, and I'm going to put, you've given me a bunch of images of the illustrations I'm going to be putting on people, when people will click on this to listen to the show, it'll flip through some of those images so people can see. And they were so cute because it was just like, you know, the three of us at the beach. And there was one that you had, I think it was the three of them in bed, like cuddling. And it was just so cute. Like, I just felt like it's just such the normal family, you know, it's just.
Yeah, I wanted to, I really, first of all, I'm so grateful to my artist. Her name is G.I. She, I found her kind of randomly, just searching through portfolio after portfolio, and I finally got to her on my portfolio, and I never thought she would say yes, because she was such an amazing, talented artist, and I thought, oh, there's no way she's going to say yes to a self-published book, and it's kind of this very specific, specialized topic. And she did say yes, and I'm so grateful to her. But I mentioned just a few things that I wanted from her. One was an ethnically diverse family that wasn't totally white. And then I also really wanted the family to be able to display their affection in the book, because I really wanted the child reader to be able to see that represented. So you see the moms cuddling while they're dreaming of the baby. I think I gave you that picture to show to your listeners.
Yep.
And you see them holding hands, and you see them, I mean, you see them, they're not just hanging out in the same room together. Like but it's not also not, you know, in your face overtly PDA either. It's just this real representation of real loving moms together, and it really shows the love that I think is so important for any family.
Yeah, she did an amazing job with the illustrations.
Really
absolutely
did.
Gorgeous. Yeah, and it's so cute. I mean, it reminded me of the movie. I think it's called The Kids Are All Right, right? The lesbian mom movie, and you just leave the movie going, oh, they're just like everybody else. You know, it's similar feeling with the book.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. In fact, there's a page in there that says, we're just like every family everywhere. And then it goes mm-hmm. on to show. I don't need to tell lesbian families that. They already know that. But it's you know, I think it's, if it'd be a good book maybe to give to a relative that is having a hard time talking about the donor. I mean, that was actually kind of hard for my parents at first. Like, we would be talking about our babies, and we would say, look at those beautiful eyelashes that our son has. That's definitely from the donor. I mean, it's the first statement in our donor's profile. We used a sperm bank, and we have an unknown donor, but his identity will be released to the kids. They have an opportunity to learn who he is when they're 18. So but anyway, we'd be talking about their physical characteristics, and you kind of have to teach people how to talk about the donor in a way that doesn't feel stigmatized or weird or uncomfortable. So I think this book might even be good, you know, to kind of help provide a little bit of a foundation for relatives or friends or anyone else that maybe just needs a model for how to talk about the contribution of the donor and how the donor does and does not fit into your family, because there's so many different variations. We have friends that have used known donors, and they have dinner together every, you know, once a month or something. And then we have friends that used donors from sperm banks, and they are not identity release donors, and they'll probably never meet the donor. And then we have friends that do some amount of co-parenting with their donor. I mean, it's just completely all over the board. So I think it's important to recognize that what a donor means is different for each family, and that's whatever that means for that family is okay. And it's okay to kind of help other people learn how to talk about that, because it's a new subject, and we don't have a model for talking about it, because most of us were raised by heterosexual parents or some variation of that. I don't think very many of us really have a good model for talking about that. So I hope that this book can help provide, you know, some language for how to talk about and how to normalize this new amazing modern family dynamic.
Absolutely. That's an excellent start. Now, on publishing, did you ever approach any, like, a publisher to get it published, or did you know from the beginning you wanted to self-publish?
I knew from the beginning that I wanted to self-publish, and the reason for that is because I think that this is not a book that you would typically just find on a bookshelf at a bookstore and pick it up and buy it. I think the topic is too highly specific, and the audience is a bit too small for a publisher to be interested in. Although that being said, I have a few publishers that I may approach, but I'm going to kind of see how it goes for a year or so. I think that most families that are looking for a book about a children's book about donor conception will probably do, at least in our country, will probably do what I did and hop on Amazon or do an internet search for when it comes to finding books that are really highly specific topics. So the self-publishing company that I used is an Amazon company, and it's called CreateSpace. It's really wonderful.
Wow.
Anyone can make a book and upload it for free onto CreateSpace. And then since they're owned by Amazon, they distribute it to all of their Amazon outlets, which is all of their Amazon websites, right? So, and there's five different countries that your book will appear on. And then you get to set your price of your book, and then they take a portion of that profit. So you really get to set your royalties, and they're oftentimes can be much higher than a traditional publisher might be able to offer you. So I think the fact that it was a really highly specific topic that I figured people would find online anyway, that combined with the freedom to find my own illustrator and, you know, change the text if I need to change the text or have it translated into languages, like having that kind of control and being able to set my own royalties and do my own marketing and stuff was appealing to me for this book. So, but for future books, I'm hoping eventually to write a book that has a bit more wider audience that I could maybe approach a publisher with.
That's so cool. I didn't know that there was, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but that there are programs out there that allow you to self-publish that easily. So you basically design all the book, you upload it to create the physical book electronically, and do they just print on demand? Is it kind of like those photo yeah. book places where you go and you just order it and they print it for you and send it?
It's amazing. Awesome. It's print on demand. So, you know, you could make a whole book, and then if you just sell one, they'll just print one book and ship it off for you. It's incredible. It's really cool. And it's exciting to me because, I mean, I would, whoever's listening right now, I invite you to help me in my mission, which is to make more books for two-mom families. And this is one way to do that, is to use CreateSpace and just, you know, try to decrease the invisibility that's out there for our families. And it's a really fun project. I really had a blast doing this project.
I bet. My wife and I have actually talked about writing a book. She's funny. I'm not, but I could do all the logistics behind the scenes. She can write and we can find an illustrator. But no, that's so fun. I had no idea. That actually makes it more appealing to think that it's that easy.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you have to, the funding probably comes when you're dealing with an illustrator. And I don't know, what else do you have to raise money for?
Yeah.
I know you did it all through Kickstarter. Is that right?
Yeah. So my first book, Mama Midwife, I didn't have any money to put into a book, and so that's why I did my own art, is because I didn't want to spend the money on an artist. And it's expensive to get a really good artist, and it's kind of a risk because you don't know if you're going to get paid back. You don't know if anyone's going to buy your book. And usually, you know, if you want to try to get it published, a publisher won't look at a book if you've done your own art or if you've hired an artist. They want to control that part of it, understandably. So it was a little bit risky. So that's where Kickstarter came in. I knew there would be an audience for this, and I knew if I found a really, really good artist that I would at least be able to pay myself back for how much it costs to have the artwork done. So I decided to do the Kickstarter campaign, which was way more work than I thought it was going to be. It was a ton of work to do the Kickstarter campaign. And basically what I was doing with the Kickstarter campaign was, one, trying to pay myself back for the payment for the artist. And then I also was trying to raise funds to get a hardcover book printed. Because when you use CreateSpace and you publish something through Amazon, it's a paperback book, and the quality is just okay. It's pretty good for what you're getting. But what I really wanted was a really beautiful, high quality, like bookstore quality, you know, library quality hardcover book, and that's expensive too. So the hardcover book and the artists were and the shipping costs were paid for through Kickstarter. And Kickstarter was also really fun and really affirming because so many people come together in such a small period of time and they all rally behind your idea. And I mean, I felt like $1 million after my Kickstarter campaign because I was getting a lot of emails saying, thank you so much for making this book. I finally have this book that I can talk to my kid about their donor conception origins, and it also shows two moms together, and we're so happy that you did this. So it felt really, really good to kind of have everybody come together like that, even though it was a digital coming together. It was still really a good feeling.
I bet. Heck yeah, it's your creation. For sure. So cool. Nice work. Nice work. I have heard Kickstarter is a ton of work. So nice work getting that all done and funding it. Now, when was it? When did you get it funded? How long has it been?
It was funded at the end of December.
And just this last December?
Yeah. Just got funded, and the paperback book was just released probably like the third week of December. And the hardcover book is in production right now, and I hope to get those next month to ship out to all my Kickstarter backers.
Nice. That's awesome.
So it's really just beginning. But the amount of the feedback that I've had so far and the reception has been so wonderful that I'm really, really excited about it. I'm starting, I'm getting it translated into the five different four other languages that Amazon will allow me to sell in different countries. So it's right now it's being translated into French and German, Italian and Spanish. And that's my goal for the next probably the next 3 or 4 months is to finish the translation. All of the books that I do, I want to post them on my website and have them available to be able to read entirely for free online. I think that's important. I want everyone to be able to access them. I'll just go from there. I'm going to just try to concentrate on some marketing and the translations in the next couple of months and see how it goes. And then I also have a couple other books that I want to start working on too.
Nice. Well, talk about the marketing a little bit. How are you marketing the book?
Well, you know, right now it's been such a whirlwind with dealing with all the Kickstarter stuff that I haven't really done any marketing. Kickstarter required a lot of marketing, and you're basically a Kickstarter campaign. You're trying to present your case to people that can help you out and really cross your fingers and hope that they'll spread the word for you. So I was lucky in my case because we have this awesome LGBT community, and they're really all interested in helping each other move forward. So when there's something like this, which is, you know, a book that is, you know, it's helpful, like they can see that it's an asset to the community. So it was, you know, some people said, we can't share that on our Facebook page, or we can't promote this because it's, that's not our organization's position. We're not allowed to promote stuff. And other people like Mombian and quite a few other blogs were really so supportive and so awesome. And they would write a little, you know, review of the book or present the Kickstarter campaign. And it was really, really helpful. So right now, the marketing that I'm doing for the book is basically none, because I'm still trying to get all the Kickstarter stuff together. But I think I have one Facebook. I did one little experimental Facebook ad, and that's all the marketing I've done. So it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of money too. This is the downfall of self-publishing, is that you have to do all of your own marketing, and it's expensive. And we'll have to see how it goes. But right now, I'm assuming that most of the sales are coming from word of mouth, because I haven't done very much marketing. So that's really exciting. I think people see the ad on Facebook, and then they tag their friends, and I can kind of see like how many people are responding to the Facebook ad. And there's like 600 people just in the matter of the past couple of weeks that have responded to the ad. So it's really exciting.
Definitely. Now, I bet word of mouth marketing is going to be huge for this, because like you said, the LGBTQ community is really tight, and we do support each other. I mean, we've been through a lot in the last handful of years here. Well, more than that, way more than that. But I mean, things have gotten really heated and really public and really visible. And I think we really are all looking out for each other and seeing how we can support each other. I mean, when I saw this, I was like, okay, there's every single lesbian baby shower gift. I just figured it out. I don't even have to think now. Like, you know,
that's
done.
Great. I hadn't thought about that. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, yeah, it's brilliant, right? I mean, assuming it's a donor-conceived kid, and even if it's not, but it's perfect. So, yeah, I think word of mouth is probably going to be really huge. And so good luck on all of your marketing. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
So what was the most challenging part of writing this book for you? Or even just, I mean, it sounds like Kickstarter was a big issue, but just the whole thing.
It was fun. The most challenging part of the book was getting all of the technical information in there in a way that can keep a kid engaged, because I think sometimes, you know, you have to kind of get the kid hooked and engaged and have the illustrations be fantastic. But there was a lot of information. Like, if I just tell my kid, oh, you have a donor, there's so much information that it's kind of a domino effect. You can't just explain what a donor is. You have to give the backstory to that, which is, you know, the desire for wanting a baby. And then why do you need a donor? Why can't you just make a baby? You have to explain, you have to explain the biological nuts and bolts behind that. You have to explain what a sperm is. You have to explain what an egg is. Then you kind of have to explain how different traits make up who you are, and how those are passed along in instructions called genes. I mean, there's like quite a bit of information, and you have to get it all in within a really condensed format. So, you know, really simple and really clear, and then also kind of with a sense of humor and keeping things really light. I also felt that it was a little bit challenging. I wanted to sneak in a little bit of gratitude for the donor. I think I wanted to make it okay for parents to feel a sense of gratitude, to feel like it was okay to kind of celebrate the donor a little bit without that feeling threatening. I wanted parents to be able to have it be kind of a fun thing, to be able to talk about the donor. I wanted them to be able to easily say, you know, oh, I wonder if you get that trait from your donor, or, you know, you're really good at math. I wonder if that's something, you know, to just like open the door to be able to talk about the donor in a positive light. So I wanted to kind of not just give a lesson on conception, but also to kind of instill that a positive association with the donor, since it's, you know, biologically speaking, half of who your kid is. And then I also wanted to be able to celebrate the family. So there was a lot of information to get in. And when I first sat down to write it, I was sort of stumped. Like, how am I gonna get kids on board with this? I can't just start talking about sperm and eggs. So I thought giving it to them in the perspective from another little kid, I thought that was a good idea. And then to make it kind of this adventure, you know, if you put the Jeep on the first page and get them kind of hooked on what the adventure is going to be. And then I think just showing a lot of pictures of the family. My kids anyway, love that. They love playing family. They love all the pretend play, and they love seeing pictures of families and all the other little characters that are in it. So that was challenging. Another thing that was really challenging with the book was I was really worried about excluding groups of people. And I wanted to be really thoughtful about how could I make a book that will appeal to people and not offend anybody. So I didn't want to talk too much about, I didn't want to give too many details. Like, for example, I couldn't talk about sex or how the sperm or egg goes in. So I sort of had to leave that open. I wasn't sure how the drawings should be done. Like, I guess one complaint that I have about the book is I feel like the two moms are super femme. And I was really worried about that. I didn't want to exclude anybody's look or like anybody's identity. And I had the artist redraw one of the pages to try to make one of the partners appear a little bit more butch, because I really didn't want to make it be, you know, just what for one certain kind of family. And I also didn't want to exclude single moms or single lesbian moms. And I felt like at some point I just had to make a choice about what family it was going to be for. And since most, you know, the biggest population that uses at least sperm at sperm banks, that demographic is usually, I think the highest demographic is lesbian couples. So I decided to just kind of bite the bullet and make that. And I had this idea in the back of my mind that I would do another book for single moms. But I actually don't think that I will. I think I'll probably just continue on my path to make books for kids with gay parents. And it's hard because I don't want to exclude single moms or single lesbian moms or single dads or single gay dads. It's hard to make a book that really fits for everybody. But so far I've received nothing but positive feedback on the books, and I'm really grateful for that.
Awesome. No, it's really tough choices. I see exactly what you're saying about not wanting to exclude people. So I feel you.
Yeah.
That would be difficult. But like you said, you had to make a choice. And
yeah.
And there's more books to come, right? So.
Yeah. The next book that I'm working on is it really would be appropriate for any family, but it's going to feature a two dad family, and it's kind of a really fun space adventure. It doesn't even mention their relationship. The dads are just kind of in the background, and you can see that they love each other and they love their kid. And it's basically just a really fun, wacky, kind of like super silly space adventure, and I'm really excited about doing that one. So I'm excited to get away from, I don't want to do books that teach, you know, the first book taught what a midwife is and the second book teaches about donor conception. And that's actually not really my style. Like, I want to do stuff that's just really super fun and that a kid is going to ask to read the book over and over again because of the blast. That's my intention. And I'm hoping to normalize, to introduce more gay families in books that are not, where that's not the main focus of the story, where it just happens to be this fantastic story and the parents are gay and so what? Because that's how life is, you know? That's how life should be anyway. It should be no big deal that your parents are the same sex.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think that's, excuse the garbage truck behind me. I think that's really important for kids to really have that normalization about what a gay family is. It's just like, oh, it's just like any other family. And I think, you know, more and more as more gay couples are having kids, that's exactly what's going to happen in our culture. It's just like, oh, it's just, they have two dads and they have two moms and it's just normal. But for now, just how powerful it is for a kid to be able to read a book like yours and feel that external validation of, oh, my family is like other families because there's books about other families like mine. So, you know, it just brings some normalcy to a kid, I think, in their experience growing up with gay parents. So it's really awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I hope so. I mean, as adults in this time period, we are lucky because we do see a little bit more normalization in our window to the outside world, right? So our movies and our TV shows now feature gay families, but for that is still kind of not acceptable in the realm of children's literature and children's cartoons. And so their window to the world is different than ours. And I think we have to actively work at that, you know, one book at a time or whatever it is. We have to go be involved in their schools. We have to be open and positive about our families and our relationships and the donor, because the donor does come up really, really quickly in a child's life. I was surprised how quickly it came up. But, you know, when you're out in the world with a baby and you're walking along, people assume that you have a husband. Or they see the baby, they assume the baby has a father in their life, mostly. I shouldn't say 100% of the time, but, you know, there's been so many times when I've been out at the park or out at a store with my kids and someone will say, "Where's your dad?" Or oh my, they'll look at me, I have brown hair, and then they'll look at my son has totally blonde hair, and they'll say to him, you know, like I remember like him being 2 years old and people saying at the park, "Oh, your dad must be, you get your blonde hair from your dad, is that right?" And so you have to be prepared for that. And my kids they don't bat an eye. I mean, they know more parents that are two-mom families and gay families than they do. Well, now that they're in school, they know most of their friends have straight parents. But before school started, their norm was two-mom families. And so it's really easy for them to say, "No, I don't have a dad, I have a donor." And they talk about it like it's no big deal. And they explain it to their friends. And but I was really surprised about how quickly that comes up in life. You know, I thought, oh, I'll talk to them about it when they're five. But in reality, I think it's really important, even though it feels difficult, but it's really important to start a conversation about it. You don't have to have a serious sit down heart to heart talk with your kids at age two, but you can just start mentioning it, or you can make your own book about your conception story, and you can sit down and you can talk about this is how you were made. This is how we made you. You know, mommy brought home the sperm that we buy and we put it inside and we made you. And this is, you know, we're so grateful and this is who you are. And you can just start talking, but you talk about that stuff at an early age, then your kids won't come to you at a later age and say, why don't I have a dad, or, you know, I wish I had a dad, or, you know, any questions like that about a dad can become normal. They can have the language and the tools to talk about that stuff before it becomes a question in their own minds. So I think it's really important to keep it really simple, keep it really honest, keep it really open, and feel really confident and positive about your kid's donor, and just celebrate that. And if you're able to talk about your kid's donor in your family in a really positive, fun, celebratory way, then your kid is going to feel celebratory and accepting about their self. And they're going to be able to then learn that language and talk about it to other people in a way that feels really confident. And so you're basically giving your kids skills to come out about their donor and in a way that, you know, helps spread a message in a really positive light.
That is such a good point. Well, that's such a good point. I think that often as adults we think, and there's a lot of people that think, oh, these issues or these topics are, you know, kids aren't ready for those topics. The kids aren't ready. And they put off having tough conversations. And then what is that expressing to them? It's presenting some sort of taboo around it or something uncomfortable around it. But when you're completely open and you're talking freely and you're talking, like you said, in a celebratory manner about your donor, and then it's just like, oh, it's just my donor. I mean, it's just what it is. It's no big deal. And then they feel free, and they got nothing going on about it. You have nothing going on about it. And then if they have nothing going on about it, then they're good. Like, there's nothing to have going on about it, you know? And I think it's so important, like you said, to talk about it really, really early. And then they're completely set up. And then the tougher questions are going to come, like, well, wait, now that I understand how babies are made, how did you get the donors from in you? Like, then you can start having those little details as they get older, you know, but the whole donor thing and them understanding where they're coming from and why there's not a dad. I mean, that's just such a good point. I love that you spoke about that.
Yeah. And it, for my kids anyway, we are, my partner's a midwife, and she also has a fertility business. So she does inseminations mostly for lesbian couples in the San Francisco Bay Area. So that's, I mean, we're kind of unique in the sense that we have talked a lot about, like she'll say, I'm off to do an IUI, and the kids will be like, you know, they know what an IUI is. They know what the catheter is. They know what sperm is. They've looked at sperm under a microscope. So we may have had a lot more like family talking about the kind of stuff, but they have not yet asked about sex. And that I think that might be a fear. Like when you go to talk about your a donor or about sperm or about how babies are made, I think it's kind of scary to talk about, because you think you're going to have the great big huge talk about sex with them. And it's totally not about that at this age. It's mm-hmm. They're totally happy with the information that we've given them, which is just that we got the sperm from the sperm bank, or that some parents get the sperm from a friend of theirs. And I think once just recently, my kids are 6 and 7. I think once just recently they asked how the sperm comes out. And so that was, you know, that was 6 years after, and we'd been talking about it for years before that even happened. So I don't think that it does come up for people. And then if it does come up, you can just say, you know, it doesn't have to be loaded. It doesn't have to be about, you don't have to worry about them having too much information. You can just give really clear answers about the physiology behind it and just keep it really simple. Kids really pick up on your energy. And I think if you're positive and you make things sound like no big deal, but you are still able to, I mean, we honor the process, the conception process. And I don't mean to say that it is no big deal, because it is a really special, any conception process that is intended is really special, and it can sometimes be difficult for some families and for some couples, and there's a lot of thought that goes into it. It's expensive. Like, there's a lot of stuff about it that is really loaded, but I think that we can kind of strip all that away and talk to our kids about donor conception, just give them the basics, and then I think the way you talk about it and how frequently you're able to talk about it is almost more important than any of that other stuff. So the fact that they know that it's okay to talk to you about anything, that's the kind of parent that all parents want to be. They want to be able to, they want to have open communication, and they want their kids to come to them with questions. And you have to just kind of get in there and start talking about it at a really early age. And I think a book is a great way to do that, because kids already have positive associations with books. Because when you're reading a book with a kid, you're usually cuddling with them, with your child. You're cuddling with them, or it's, you know, we read books in bed every night. So they have this association with books where they're going to get a great story and they're going to get cuddled at the same time. And it's like this super safe, beautiful, loving, intimate place for them. And so if you have a subject that's kind of hard to talk about, then I think having a book to kind of give you the terminology that you can start practicing, I think having a book to do that is a great way to just set the foundation, like set the tone for how you're going to talk about this in the future with your child.
Absolutely. Now, one question I haven't asked is, how have the kids been receiving this book? Your kids, friends' kids?
So, yeah, it's not new information for them, but they're like my critics. They're so cute. They'll be like, they will pick up the book and my son can read now. My daughter's like learning how to read, but they're totally my book critics. So they will open it up and they'll say, I really think you should have made Zach wearing a red shirt instead of a blue shirt. Or I really think, Mom, you really got to go back in here and you got to make him, you know, holding a balloon or whatever. They'll have like all of these little opinions about how the art should be.
Oh, cute.
It's really cute. The book has, you know, it's not really anything new to them, and I've been working on it for so long that I think they're kind of over it.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of times where my daughter and my son have come up to me and said, I want to read this book tonight, and that feels really good, you know, that they actually... Because I never say, let's read this book, because I think they must be tired of me talking about it, and I'm always on the computer dealing with stuff about it. So when they spontaneously get the book and bring it to me, it feels really, really good. It's super sweet, and they really love the pictures, and I feel so, so grateful. I feel like most of the success that this book has is going to be... I'm happy with the way the text came out, but I feel like I won the lottery in terms of finding the artist that I found, and she did a spectacular job, and I'm eternally grateful to her for the work that she did and how much put into making it feel genuine and loving and beautiful and contemporary. It's hard mm-hmm. to find a book nowadays, I think, that shows parents that look like they're, you know, not straight out of the 80s. Like she made them dress, they're all hip and they look really mm-hmm. you know, they it's really sweet. She put a lot of effort into even the tiniest little details, and I feel really grateful for that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, really, congratulations so much on the book. I think it's going to be a huge hit with or without marketing. It's a perfect demographic. I think, you know, it's more and more, is there acceptance for gay families and this kind of thing? You're just at the right spot, I think, for this taking off. And so I know it's going to be a huge success. And thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. Is there anything you want to make sure to mention before we wrap up?
Well, thanks for having me. And I just want to encourage everyone that's in their conception process right now to hang in there and keep at it. And for all of you raising kids out there, congratulations. And I'm so happy to see all the other two-mom families, rally around and come together through this book. And I gotta hand it to everyone that's in this process. It takes a lot of effort, and so yeah, I just encourage you to follow your dreams.
Nice. Well, let everyone know where they can find your website.
You can find Zach Safari at www.zakssafari.com, and there's a hyphen in the middle, so it's ZAKS-SAFARI.com.
Awesome. And I will definitely put that in the show notes. And like you said, they can go to Amazon as well and order there.
Yeah, the book's on Amazon. There's a link. My website just has a link to Amazon. But you can read the whole book on the website. I think it's important to be able to read a book before you buy it. I do that in a bookstore whenever I buy a book. I read the whole book. So it was important to me to make that available on the website. So especially a book like this, this is an important book, and you want to know what you're getting, I think, before you spend your money. So feel free to read it for free on the website. And then it is, I think it's on sale right now on Amazon. They have marked it down for some reason. So that's fantastic. I think it's around $12 on Amazon right now.
Oh, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to go pick up some copies right now if I have them on hand.
All right.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for being on the show. Really, it's an amazing project. Congratulations. It's going to be a huge success. And, best of luck with everything to come.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure talking to you.
You too. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, Elizabeth. Bye.
Bye. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. How cool is this? I mean, geez. I mean, are you not going to buy this for every lesbian baby shower that you go to from now on, or is it just me? I'm definitely going to have a stack of these on hand so that I don't have to think about it. My friends that are having babies these days. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any suggestions for me on topics, I would love to hear them. I have one coming up on adoption that I got from a listener, which was awesome. So if any of you have any other topics you would love to hear, or have any feedback about the show, I would love to hear it. And you can email me at elizabeth@lesbymommies.com. Love, love, love to hear feedback or topic suggestions. So hope you're having a great week. It's Monday for you. It's Friday for us, but Monday for you. So have an awesome week, and we will catch you next time. Take care.